Paul reminds us in the second reading from the letter to the Romans that there is something deeply embedded in all that exists, in every molecule of creation, that there is something deeply embedded that yearns and groans for union with the Creator. That there is a dynamism that exists between Creator and creature. And that living, active dynamism is at the very heart of the mystery of life. The riddle of life involves that movement. That movement within the creature, within creation, for union with the Creator. That's an incredibly important piece for you and for me to hold on to and to believe. Because out of that doctrine that Paul announces in his letter to the Romans, there emerges a whole way of living that you and I know as the Christian vocation. That there is nothing in creation that you and I are not meant to be engaged with. That if we stand as witnesses to the love of God and to the mission of Christ, then every single element of the created universe is of our concern. And so almost 50 years ago, when the bishops of the world gathered to reflect on our relationship with the world, they began that meditation or that reflection with these words: the joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the people of this age, especially those who are disenfranchised or in any way afflicted, these are the joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the followers of Christ. In fact, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is genuinely human that fails to raise an echo in the hearts of the disciples of Christ. That is why this community of Christ's disciples realizes that it is truly linked with the human family and all creation, and is linked to human history by the deepest and strongest bonds. Well, in just a moment, you and I are going to have the opportunity to welcome Henry and Samuel into the life of faith through the waters of baptism. And what we believe happens in baptism is that deep down core groaning within these children, within the very soul of Samuel and Henry, we believe that in the waters of baptism, there is a liberation that occurs, an openness, so that that groaning can become louder and stronger, and that movement toward union with the Creator can flower. Now, the only way that can happen is if in these two children's lives there is preparation for them to receive strongly that Word of God. That Word of God which we hear about in the first reading and in the Gospel reading. And so there are sisters and brother and cousins here who have to help that happen. You've got to help that happen. Yes, you've got to help your brother learn the things that you know and be good like you are. You think you can do that? I bet you can. Yes, and you too. You're going to help your brother learn those things, the things that you know now, huh? And you have to help him be strong like you, okay? All right, I'm glad to hear that. That's the job. That's the job of the community of faith. That's the job of families, to assist each other to receive that engrafted Word of God. So I'm going to ask, after you have received communion, I'm going to ask that Josh and Brian step into the sanctuary and hold their sons, and especially the men in the congregation. After you receive communion, I want you to come forward and to pray a blessing over these children. Pray a blessing that they might come to know most deeply the love that God has for them. But also to remind you that all of us, a whole community, is responsible for the lives of each other, and particularly for the lives of its children. And that in a very specific way, if these two young boys are going to become strong men, it's only going to be because there are men in their lives who are people of strong faith and virtue and courage and enthusiasm and energy and openness of heart and depth of spirit, who can teach them how to do that. So, as we prepare to celebrate this sacrament, I invite all of you to join with me as together we renew the promises of our own baptism. So I ask you, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, was raised to life on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And is it your will that your children should be baptized in the faith that we have professed? Okay, parents and godparents.